Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and congratulations, taxpayers. It's your $8 trillion bailout. It's a number that makes your head hurt just trying to comprehend it. It's an 8 followed by 12 zeros. It will not fit on your handheld calculator, and the government won't even tell us where most of it is going. Now, to be fair, it's probably only $7.76 trillion so far, and much of the money may never actually be spent. But Bloomberg News has calculated the total amount of bailout money spent or promised in loan guarantees, if necessary, including the $306 billion backstop promised to Citigroup just yesterday. It's a number the government does not want to say out loud. Bloomberg's Matthew Winkler is here, however, now to speak the unspeakable and crunch the uncrunchable. Hi, Matthew. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. So we've heard about the $700 billion TARP, as they call it, which I don't know if you noticed became $800 billion this morning at Treasury Paulson's latest news conference, plus another $150 or so to AIG. But that's still less than $1 trillion. How do you get to 7 3/4?
Well, there are essentially two ways that the government is going about rescuing our financial system. Institutions in particular. The first is a specific allocation of funds by the Treasury Department. And the second is a series of what are known as facilities or programs by the Federal Reserve that consist mostly of lending money. So as opposed to an outright allocation of funds, which is the Treasury program, authorized by Congress, and the second would be the Federal Reserve's continuous provision of funds through a whole variety of lending programs to financial institutions.
So,
and that's how you get the two programs.
For example, one really big piece of this, according to your article, is $2.4 trillion in short-term notes or commercial paper. What does that actually mean?
The Fed every day is dealing with commercial banks, and the way it deals with these banks is it borrows money if it seeks to or lends. And in this case, what we're talking about is lending. The Fed is lending money to the banks and accepting in return collateral. And the issue here is mostly about what that collateral is, and it's not disclosed. And it's apparent because of what the Fed is doing that the collateral is not, for example, AAA-rated transparent Treasury bills, which are of really no risk, credit risk whatsoever. The past 14 months, what has happened is the Federal Reserve, for the first time since it really has been created, beginning of the 20th century, is accepting collateral that it was never meant to accept in its dealings every day with commercial banks.
What kinds of collateral?
Well, the assets could be troubled mortgages, otherwise dubbed toxic debt. This could be debt securities that are virtually unmarketable today, and this is why credit has seized up throughout the financial system, is that so many commercial banks have found themselves, and securities firms for that matter, found themselves in a situation where they have assets that they can't sell to anybody. And in order to unlock the credit market, the Fed has stepped in and said, we will accept what you have that is unsellable as collateral for loans that we make to you.
Is that $2.4 trillion in short-term notes or commercial paper actually money spent, or is that kind of an insurance policy to guarantee things if things go bad for the banks and the companies?
Well, first of all, the amount keeps changing, and it kind of changes by the day. So, you know, whether it's it's $2 trillion or it's $2.3 trillion or $2.5 trillion is a number that's going to fluctuate depending on the day and the time of the day. Having said that, what the Fed typically does is make itself the lender of last resort. And by becoming the lender of last resort, it is providing money that financial institutions can't get otherwise. And so it is real money, it is real tax dollars, but it is coming in the form of a loan. And the assumption is that those loans will be repaid. And
we all may get this money back, just like the Resolution Trust Corporation bailing out the SNLs in that crisis in the 80s wound up recouping all or most of its money. Some people say made a profit.
That could be the outcome here.
And another $1.4 trillion goes to stock up the FDIC, according to your numbers, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. But again, that's money that's there if needed, if your insured bank accounts need a backstop, if your banks go belly up. And I wonder how much of that has been spent, because there was none on WaMu, none on Wachovia, none on Citibank, all these big troubled banks in the news, just to be clear.
Well, it all depends on what the meaning of spent is. We know that, several trillions of dollars has, if you will, been used in the form of loans by the Federal Reserve already. And if that's the meaning of spent, then it has been spent. But it should be said that this is money that the Fed expects to have repaid. So it's not as if it disappears somewhere at this point.
Help us understand what $8 trillion is. How much of GDP, or how much of the accumulated wealth of the entire world, or what kind of even bigger number can we use as a benchmark to get our brains around what $8 trillion actually means in human terms?
Well, this week when we calculated the amount as about just shy of $8 trillion on behalf of American taxpayers, and this is, by the way, after guaranteeing the $306 billion of Citigroup debt also earlier this week. This amounts to half of the value of everything produced in the nation last year.
Half of GDP?
Yes, sir.
Half of everything produced in the nation last year. And I guess, the debate among economists, which I don't expect you to have the answer to, we had a little bit of that debate last hour, was what are the long-term ramifications of this? Does the dollar eventually become worthless, even though it's flying a little high right now, because we're printing so many dollars to launch these insurance policies and bailouts and everything else so that the system doesn't collapse? It could ultimately wind up collapsing the system. Or not. Some people think this is just, many people think this is just exactly the right thing to do. But I guess that's the ultimate risk if you're starting to approach GDP with the amount of money that you're printing to shore up the system, yes?
There is no doubt assertions have been made that this rescue is inflationary and that it could lead to the systematic devaluation of the dollar. The reality is, so far, actually, dollars have never been dearer in the world as they are right now, or let's put it this way, not in our lifetime. And that is reflected in the rates that are payable right now on, say, U.S. Treasury bills. U.S. Treasury bills are so precious that the rates are as low as they haven't been since 1940, and that was, if you recall, still during the U.S. Depression, the Great Depression. So the market, at least right now, is telling us that the credit of the U.S., of Uncle Sam, is as good as it gets. The dollar has, in some ways, outperformed gold, which is typically considered an inflation hedge. And people can't get enough dollars, and that's reflected in the fact that the interest that's payable on those dollars in, say, U.S. Treasury bills is low, so low that it's not a rate that we've seen in at least a couple generations.
It's so fascinating. This is one of those things where the more I study about it, sometimes the less I feel I know, day by day by day. Your news organization, Bloomberg News, is suing the federal government for access to more of these numbers so that you can calculate the $8 trillionth dollar that actually gets spent or set aside. What are they hiding?
Well, we don't know, and we are puzzled actually that when everyone who is involved in this rescue agrees that transparency is essential to the recovery of the financial markets and of these troubled financial institutions, that there should be so much opacity. And the market's recovery, many people who are in it say, really depends on there being full disclosure of what the values are of the, say, collateral that the Fed is now accepting in return for the loans that it's making. And the reason why that is important is because once the market knows what the values are that the Fed is accepting for its loans, then the market can follow that lead and adjust accordingly. Until the market knows what the Fed is doing, the market is at sea and unable to be part of the recovery process.
That's so, an argument for transparency. Their argument against is that it would defeat the purpose of some of this money, which is to stabilize these financial institutions. Because if word gets out that they're being backed up by the government and taking this TARP money, it would hurt them in the marketplace. Not true?
Well, it would be presumptuous of me to judge. I think the direct answer to your question is, this happens to be money that is the taxpayers, and the taxpayers are entitled to know what their money is being used for. And so while there's clearly an argument for transparency on the basis of assisting the market its own recovery, there's also an argument to be made that it's really not up to a group of people to decide whether these funds should be disclosed or not.
Right.
It's really up to American citizens who vote, and it's their money.
Good point. And this crisis, furthermore, was built on the willful lack of transparency in financial markets. Now they're trying to bail us out with lack of transparency as well.
We wouldn't have experienced the worst credit crisis really since the Great Depression if there had been transparency. And so you're absolutely right. The source of this distress is really laid at the door of markets that have been opaque.
A lot of that securitization of debt, hedge fund investments, things like that, were explicitly signed off on by the federal government as allowed to be less transparent than normal stock transactions.
Well, I'm not sure one can make that statement. I'm not sure it's that simple. It is more, I guess, an example of neglect. And there have been numerous, opportunities during the 90s and even more recently where the government could have taken steps to regulate what is now referred to as this toxic debt, these securitized assets that come out of the mortgage market and other credit receivables.
Right.
And there weren't any of those steps taken, and so we found ourselves in a situation when these markets grew at an unprecedented rate in the past 5 years. Suddenly, the shadow financial system in some ways was bigger than the financial system.
And that's where we have to leave it with Matthew Winkler from Bloomberg News. Just tell us what your latest number is, since you're tracking this as it goes up. It was $7 trillion, then it became, about $7 trillion, then it became $7.76 trillion after the Citigroup bailout funds were allocated yesterday. Did you up it by another $100 billion today when Henry Paulson jacked up the TARP program from $700 to $800 billion?
Yes, it's probably about $7.8 trillion at the moment.
Okay.
But as I said, it's a figure that's a moving target.
Approaching $8 trillion, the money at least set aside, whether or not it ever gets spent or recouped, to deal with the financial crisis. Matthew Winkler, one of those following this for Bloomberg News and trying to pry the real numbers out of Washington. Thanks a lot for doing this with us.
You're welcome.
And we'll talk next about why it's hard to be lonely in New York, even on Thanksgiving weekend, after this. We're talking about $8 trillion. You asked to hear this Chris Rock piece again. Here it is.
Bush did some things you could never get away with at your job, man. Never, ever, ever. You know, when Bush got into office, they had a surplus of money. Now there's like a $70 trillion deficit. Now, just imagine you worked at the Gap. You closing out your register, and it's $70 trillion short. The average person would get in trouble for something like that, right? Not Bush, no.